coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. We are glad to have you on board with us on this beautiful Saturday morning. I am Randy Bergen, joined by Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter. Guys, didn't get to see you last week. Didn't get to see you. But, boy, you're looking good today.
Well, he must be looking.
Rick looks good.
You're looking through rose-colored glasses.
I like it though, Randy. Kind of pumps me up this morning.
I'm telling you. Hey, you got a big lineup today, and we're going to go right to the phones here in just a second and talk with Coach David Faulkner. He's due up in just a moment. But I tell you, big lineup today coming up at the bottom of the hour. Dr. Jay Savage is on with us, Mark.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, they've merged Bayside Orthopedics into a little bit of a different group. It's called Gulf Orthopedics, and he'll explain more about that when he comes on. But Dr. Savage works the Saturday morning clinic every Saturday there in Fairhope for possibly injured athletes during football season. And, boy, they do a great job there at Bayside Orthopedics.
Absolutely. And then coming up to wrap up the first hour, Mark Freeman will be on with us.
Coach Freeman at Thompson High School, the head football coach there. What have they won 3 in a row now? Is that right? 2 or 3, I'm pretty sure.
They've won too many I can't keep up
with. At 7A, I had a chance to see Mark last week when we were at the Girls State Championship Wrestling Tournament at Thompson High School. They hosted it on their campus during the school day, which tells you just how big that campus is. Awesome place.
You know, Randy, we probably need to go right straight to the Pops Ferry communication lines. And isn't that not Pops Ferry? What is it? Tim Pops?
Pops Downtown, Midtown Communication Line.
That's one of mine. And
well, it's been a little while.
Charlie's going to get all over me about that. But, you know, it's good to get in. always good to talk to new coaches. We got a new coach at Sylacauga, but we got one here in Mobile that's a Grand Slam hire. And we're going to bring David Faulkner on. And of course, David is presented by Wilco. And we're always glad to talk to guys that have been really successful. And David certainly has. David, welcome to Prep Sports Report. And congratulations on your new endeavor, pal.
Yeah, can you hear me, Rick?
Yeah. I got you, David. I got you. You way back in the back of that press box now, I'm telling you. You must have told them to run a play, and they didn't run it, and something happened, so you deep in the press box. But congratulations. Welcome to PSR. We're glad to have you. Of course, you're going to be brought to us every Saturday that we can catch up with you by our good friends at Wilco, Wes Williams, and those guys, and we're excited about that venture. But congratulations, and talk just a little bit about that adrenaline that's pumping in you right now.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Rick. Always a pleasure to come on and speak with you guys. Yeah, really excited about the future at McGill-Tulane. I think we have obviously a great nucleus of young players there, and I think they've had recent success, and I think those players understand what that looks like, and I'm just really honored to have been chosen to come in and continue to represent McGill-Tulane and try to continue to push that program forward.
Hey, Falk, it's so good to hear your voice, buddy, and so glad that I know one of the things I saw when I saw that you had gotten the job, I just started smiling because I know that's a big deal to bring your family back home and from West Virginia, and just glad to get back. How does the family feel about moving back down to Mobile?
Well, you know, my two sons were already in the state going to Auburn, and then my daughter, she's gonna attend Alabama next fall. So I think it was just a really a blessing, great opportunity for my wife, Christy, and I to get back to the state and be close to family. And Mobile has always been near and dear to our heart. Just coached in the area a couple of times at Alma Bryant and Foley and Fairhope, and just, you know, cherished our experiences there and just excited about coming back home to Alabama.
You know, David, one of the things, and this is David Faulkner, the new head football coach at McGill-Tulane, brought to you by our good friends at Wilco. You know, one of the things that impresses me about when I think about David Faulkner is that you have been in some situations where they've been down a little bit, and you've always been a guy that could take a program and make it better. And when you left, it was a lot better than when you got there. Talk just a little bit about what you're going into at McGill, because McGill is a old Shell Road power, and they've been down a little bit. Talk a little bit about what you do when you go in to kind of adjust the culture. I don't think changing the culture is a good way to say it, but I think to adjust the culture to do what you feel like needs to be done in that tough 6A region. Talk a little bit about that, please.
Well, I think, you know, you said down a little bit, and I think that's a little bit of a relative term. I think there are a lot of programs, State of Alabama, that like to enjoy the success that McGill's had over the last few years. But by McGill's standard, yes, you know, we hadn't operated at that level the last couple of years. But, you know, they were a really young football team last year, which is really exciting. But I think the biggest thing for me is to come in and just get people to buy in, to trust, and really just really come in and assert some passion and some energy into the program and get the kids and the coaches and the school and everybody excited about what the future can look like for us. So I think the hardest thing to do initially is to come in and lay out your vision for the program and get the kids to buy in, because that's going to be the number one thing. The whole program is about the kids and providing a great high school experience for them and being able to do whatever we can to help them to be successful, and then getting them to trust us and understand, okay, you know, coach has done this before, and that if we'll buy in and get on board, then we'll all get what we're looking for.
You know, Coach, as you come into a school that has a great deal of tradition there at McGill, and it's not uncommon, you've done that before coming into a school and bringing your stamp to it. What are some things that you look forward to that going into this spring that y'all are going to be working on and doing this spring, getting ready for the summer and then going into the fall? What are some things that I know you've been running all over the place trying to get everything situated and ready, but what are the things coming up early on that you want to get done?
Well, I think the number one thing when you talk about coming in and turning a program or getting it back on track or just continuing the success it's already have is, you know, you got to build the team. And I think that's the number one thing that everybody has to understand, that it's about the team. Well, I met with the kids a week ago and had a chance to come in for a day or two and see them. And the first thing I told them is the star of the team is the team. And that'll be the way that we progress forward, is it's going to be about McGill-Tulane. And then the other thing is football is a game of toughness. So we're going to come in from the beginning in our strength and conditioning program to our spring practices to our summer, and we're going to focus on discipline and toughness and doing things the right way. There's a certain way you have to play the game of football to be successful. It's meant to be played a certain way. And you won't find success in it until you play it the right way. And two of the things that you got to do immediately is – have discipline and toughness to be successful in football.
You know, David, we're going to take a hard break here in just a second, but when we come back, I want to talk just a little bit about your experience at West Virginia, because that's a program that Neil Brown is really trying to continue to build, and hired a bunch of guys to come in there and do what they needed, what they felt like needed to be done to get that program where it needs to be. I want you to speak to that just a little bit, because there's a lot of high school coaches who think they want to coach at the college level. And I think you've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, but at the same time, it's still a great job. It's a great job for young coaches that have got the energy, and they've got a family that's able to adjust to those kind of movements. I want you to speak to that. I don't know how much time we got, Randy.
We'll fix to take a break here in just a second.
We're going to take a break here, Neil. And if you'll hang on with us for just one more segment, we'll get into that a little bit and then get into some more stuff about McGill, pal. Okay?
All right. Sounds great.
Take care, David. We'll be right back with you.
Yeah, we're gonna take a break right now, and then we'll be right back with Coach David Faulkner, the head football coach, the new head football coach for McGill-Tulane, right here on the Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Prep Sports Report right here on the PSR Radio Network. Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster on our Pops Communication Line. Coach David Faulkner, the new head football coach for the Yellow Jackets of McGill-Tulane. Coach, Rick had asked you kind of to talk about your experience there at West Virginia with Neil Brown while you were up there. Talk a little bit about that, and it had to be a real neat experience.
It really was. You know, first of all, let's talk about Neil Brown. What an outstanding young football coach who really understands team building and culture building and trying to do it the right way. And I think over the course of time, I think the people in West Virginia are committed to Neil. And I think it'd just be a little more time with his plan in place that they'll reach the heights that they're looking for. But and I need to thank him for the opportunity he gave me to come to West Virginia and an opportunity to learn and grow as a football coach and a person. It really was truly an awesome experience.
You know, Neil, I'm going to call you Neil Brown now. I'm sitting here thinking about, and you're exactly right, those of us who are fortunate enough to know Neil, I mean – I don't know of a guy that's got more integrity or can have any more integrity than Neil Brown. You know, David, we teach a lot in our leadership classes. We teach you can't legislate integrity, and you certainly – it's very hard to teach it, but Neil epitomizes that which we know of as integrity. And talk a little bit about where you really grew, because – you know, if somebody would ask me about David Faulkner, I'd say, if you got the chance to hire David Faulkner, you need to hire him. And I know that as you were with that staff, where did you grow and what do you think you gained the most from Neil Brown and those other coaches that you were around while you were there?
Neil does a great job in relationships with his staff, relationships with his players, and I think seeing him interact on a daily basis in a program that large, I don't think a lot of people really realize the number of people that are involved in running a Power Five football program. And, you know, Neil knew everybody in the building's name. He made an effort to communicate and with them. And like you said, he's going to do it the right way. And just him going through and watching him operate on a daily basis on how to run a program that large and develop a culture and have a true plan to win from top to bottom. I think that's one of the things that kind of opened my eyes to. You know, being in the high school, I've been in big high schools and powerful programs at the high school level, but still the number of people involved in the things that you need to do to put your whole program in alignment, you know, I wasn't really aware of how many moving parts there could be or were at that level. And that was a great learning experience for me. He is a great organizer and planner. The way that he organized practice, the way he took that practice and made it game-like and situational and those types of things are some things that I always thought I was doing a really good job of, Rick, you know, as a coach. And then I got there and like, this is a whole nother level. I need to pay attention to this because it's going to help me one day down the road in terms of how you structure your practices, how you take those practices and make them relate to the game. So everything on game day is, you know, just the things that you've prepared your kids for over the week.
David, what is up next for you guys at McGill? What is your kind of a plan for spring training, summer? Will you guys compete in 7-on-7, et cetera, et cetera? I don't even know if you had a chance to put all that together yet, but just kind of what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so I hadn't really locked in the calendar on what those dates are, but you know, we're gonna add some coaches. So we've got to get those guys in place. We've got to get, you know, obviously, Mark and Rick and you guys that have done this before. You got to go in and install a whole new offense. You're probably gonna change defenses, so there'll be a lot of new going on. So you got to get organized on what that looks like and how that looks from day to day. But we're going to have a tough physical spring practice because we're going to try to build that characteristic of our team. You know, we will compete in 7-on-7s in the summer. I'm not as, you know, 7-on-7 crazy as a lot of people are, but I do think the competition aspect of it is very valuable for your team. And for us to evaluate our players and what we have, we definitely need to see them in competitive situations. And, you know, and then really the biggest thing is what are we going to do in our strength and conditioning program in order to prepare these kids physically and mentally for what's going to really be I think Rick touched on it earlier, a really tough schedule because we are undoubtedly probably in the toughest region in the state of Alabama, but undoubtedly in 6A.
Yeah. You know, David, isn't that strange because all of us have coached at the highest level in high school, and people always think that that's where the most competitive football is. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you watch the region you're in there with Sarah Land, and then they throw Theodore in there with you, and I'm telling you, that is not, you don't get a break. You really don't get a break, and I think the intensity that you maintain in the weight room gives you a decided advantage if you can master that. Because I'm sure that most of us believe that you really win football games from January to August. I mean, I really do believe that, and I believe it more now after hearing more and more coaches that are at your level and have been – at that level as a working with a college staff. I think more and more coaches now are beginning to realize that January to August is when we really become a really good, solid, close football team.
Yeah, I think you build, you know, football teams through unity and togetherness. And I think the way that you do that is through tough shared experiences. Yeah. And the one way as a coach that you control that is your off-season program. You know, you control the intensity of it, how hard it's going to be, how you're going to challenge your football team, and what that looks like. And I think as you do that over the course of off-season, you just kind of bring your team together and with these shared experiences, and then they understand the commitment level. And you know as well as I do, the more you commit something, the more you buy in and put into something, the more you're going to want to see it be successful. And I think the only way to do that is stress them in the off season.
You know, David, so many people now, and you're a master at this from an offensive standpoint, I think, and have been around people that are. The RPO part of the game now is such a huge part of the game now. Is that something that you have – that you have grown in, that you feel like you know enough about the RPO part of the game? Because you don't get to where you get to unless you completely understand that. And I just think that's such a huge part of the offensive scheme in today's game.
I agree. I think it's definitely a you know, RPO been around forever. They call it the option, right?
That's right.
In some aspects, now the pitch is just longer, and you're throwing it forward. But
that's right.
That's right. I think it is
a vital part of the game. It's been a good addition to offenses. I think it's like anything else. I think you need it in your offense. I think it's vital to your offense. But you know, I think you got to be careful on how much you do it and how you use it. And you know, I think the RPO is more of a counterpunch than I am a total offense. And what I mean by that, I think it all starts with that R. I think you got to be able to run the football in order for all that to be effective. And
yeah.
So we'll have it in our offense. I think it'll definitely be a part of it, but I don't know that we'll major in it as in terms of calling it, you know, more than 50% of the time.
You know, you make a really great great comment there, because I know when we were at Northview in Dothan, we ran the wishbone. And really, one of our coaches, I was talking to him a little bit later, you know, a few years later, and we're talking about RPOs. He said, heck, we ran RPOs the whole time we were at Northview and running the wishbone. David, thank you so much. Take care. We can't wait to see you. And excited for you and Christy. We're just excited. Take care. God bless. And appreciate your time this morning, pal.
Well, I appreciate it, and what a great platform you have with your radio program, and what a great asset it is for high school sports and just promoting football programs and coaches and communities in the area, and I really appreciate you doing that. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Dave.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Prep Sports Report.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. There it is.
Sport
there
prep
it
support.
Is. Whatever it is.
Sit down, Mark. Sit down. You can stand an ovation for that.
Oh, my goodness. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
It's been a little while. So a little rusty. But glad to have all of you here with us on this Saturday morning. Randy Berg and Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. We go back to our Pops communication line and welcome in Dr. Jay Savage with Gulf Orthopedics. Doc, thanks for taking time to be with us on a busy Saturday for you.
Happy to be on with y'all.
Hey, Jay, good to have you with us this morning, man, and appreciate you taking a little bit of a time out. I know you're fixing to go run a race this morning, and so we'll get you out of here kind of quickly. But first of all, tell us about your Gulf Orthopedics and how that came about. Just and you know, however you want to go into that, just a little bit about going from a kind of a merger there from Bayside Orthopedic to Gulf Orthopedics and where y'all are at.
Thanks for giving me a chance to talk about it. Yeah, something we're real excited about with our practice. You know, we've been, Bayside Orthopedic's been around serving in Baldwin County for 40 years. And we had a chance with a group of orthopedic surgeons from Mobile to merge up to create kind of a larger practice that covered more specialties, that gave us a bigger team, and just with a great group of surgeons there that allowed us to kind of spread out our coverage more over the entire region, have more access for, you know, patients to get in to see us, bigger opportunity to just have, you know, more surgeons involved in taking care of athletes and just other people's orthopedic needs. And it was a good decision for all of us, and very like-minded physicians in both areas, and just something we're really excited about, just to be able to expand on what we've already been doing. Our name changes, but like I've been telling all the people I see, we're still the same people. So you'll hear Gulf Orthopedics instead of Bayside Orthopedics now, and we're just real excited about what this will allow us to do going forward. It's nice that we'll, have more physicians, more orthopedic surgeons, and even non-operative sports medicine physicians able to, you know, to help take care of athletes. We have, we're all under the same medical record, which for a lot of people that may not seem like a big deal, but for us it's a huge deal because it allows us to share information, share imaging, be able to kind of collaborate and work together on helping take care of patients and athletes. So just a really good thing.
Jay, Rick Cleveland here. I want to ask you a question about an injury, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
I tore my rotator cuff a while back. I got a great guy that did the surgery, but I'm as a coach, we always say ice is nice, and. Yeah. So I've been icing now for about a little over 6 weeks. Is heat something that will help that?
So, Rick, I asked you a question real first. Did you have surgery on it, or are you trying?
Yeah, I did. Of course, now with rotator cuff, I think all of y'all, everybody's scoping. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we can fortunately do them pretty minimally invasive through the scope. And so, you know, right. What I'd say about that is, first of all, as your experience in rotator cuff repair, rehab can be challenging, especially early on.
Right. Right.
Generally, right after a surgery, recovery, ice is your best friend at the beginning. Like you said, ice is nice because it's going to help with that initial inflammation, helps a lot with pain control. Now, as you get a little further along in rehab, a lot of time after you've done your therapy exercises and, you're a little sore and a little swelling, ice is good. But sometimes as you go further along, a little heat can be helpful, help increase blood flow, help kind of get that joint loosened up before you're doing your therapy exercise. So I guess I kind of give a twofold answer. Early on in the recovery process, ice is certainly your best friend.
Right.
As you progress a little bit, sometimes a little combination of heat and ice can be a better thing.
So dry heat is okay after, say, 7-8 weeks. I mean, and I know I don't want you to make a diagnosis. I'm just for my own benefit. I've got a great team.
That's a good thing at that point in time. Yeah.
Okay. And I promise I won't hold you to that.
I hope it helps you.
Well, I know it will, but thank you for expanding my limited knowledge on that. but thank you for that. And I want to say this to you, Jay. I've heard so many people talk about you and the guys at Bayside Orthopedics and the great job that you guys do. And I just want you to know how much we appreciate you here at PSR because, you guys really, and people don't know this, Mark, you guys really answer that phone really 24 hours a day. And that's something that, at some point in time, one of your doctors is going to get in touch with somebody when they really need them. And I've heard more than a dozen people say that those guys at Bayside Orthopedics have always been there for us whenever we need them. And now you're expanding that and you're making it larger. And I can just foresee it just getting, I don't think saying better and better, but I mean, you're getting larger and larger, and that's a good thing.
Well, yes, sir. And larger and larger. And look, I would hope to say better and better. I mean, we're always, all of us in whatever we do, we're always striving to, to be better. None of us want to just stay where we are. Right. So that's an important thing for us. And then I appreciate you saying that because, one thing that we certainly do is, being available is a big thing. And especially we take care of athletes. I mean, you guys know as coaches, man, sometimes things happen and it's not during business hours. And then people are worried and scared. Athletes are, sometimes something might not be that bad, but they're just, it spooks them, it scares them. They're worried, man, am I going to be able to keep competing? Am I going to keep playing? And sometimes they just need to talk to somebody just to, kind of get some initial either reassurance or say, hey, we need to come check that out. And just trying to, be available has always been something that has been really important to me. And sometimes, puts a little more, a little more stress strain on ourselves and maybe even our families and things. But it's just, I think it's something we got to do to serve the people we're taking care of.
I'm kind of hogging Mark's segment here, but
Jay,
I do want to say this. I know we're active during football season, and I see it all over the South. I'll hear somebody in Birmingham, their clinic's open on Saturday after football. I think as coaches, the spring is the most difficult time for an athletic director because we got so many sports going on. I think it would be good if there was a group of orthopods that were open on Saturday till noon maybe, for all of those spring sports. I mean, we got umpteen dozen spring sports going on, and those kids are hurting. I mean, on Monday when they come into our school, I mean, our training room is loaded, is full.
Yeah.
So,
Rick, I think that's, that's a good point. Obviously we've always kind of focused on that more group football. And like I think I've said before, it's usually because, during football season, you have such a defined event that happens on Friday night. So you kind of know that a lot of your things are, going to be, Saturday morning type issues. And, something we've not kept doing year round, but I mean, as time goes on, from a coaching standpoint, I hear you loud and clear on that one. It's certainly something that's always been in the conversation, but because we all understand the importance of just a timely diagnosis and evaluation to either get somebody on the road to rehabbing or if they need a surgery to, get them on the road to doing that. And I think it's certainly something that we'll continue to discuss as time goes on.
Hey, Jay, we got probably about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go before this segment's
sure.
out, and I know you got to get to running here pretty soon. One last thing before we could just – you and I had kind of talked about a little bit yet last night was about in the off season for sports, in season, people are working out with weights. What are things that people can do when they're hard at their strength training? What are other things they can do along with that to help them prevent injuries in their sport in while they're lifting, et cetera, et cetera? Just a couple things off top of your head, if you don't mind, buddy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we think about this. I mean, one thing I think, you know, with the, you know, athlete who's in season, you know, we're talking about our winter spring sports, you know, right now is not to just stop that, you know, that training you've been doing. You know, weight training may be different in the off season. You may be going heavier, a little harder on that. But, you know, I think sometimes what we see that we're in season and maybe we kind of get a little lax. We don't kind of continue some of that, you know, strength training just to maintain. And that's a very important thing. But then even during kind of just maybe off season training, I think it's important, you know, sometimes make sure we're not overtrained, right? I mean, we focus on, you know, getting in the weight room, you know, we're lifting heavy, we're pushing hard, but, you know, focusing on making sure some of the basic things, man, we're getting good sleep and recovery. We're, you know, our diet and nutrition are good, our hydration's good. And, man, I don't know if you guys remember being high school athletes. I mean, that's not something you're always thinking about as a teenager.
Right.
I think we as physicians on our side, you know, coaches that can really help with, you know, to make sure we go, okay, you know, you're working hard. Let's make sure we're doing these other things. Let's make sure when we go home at night that we're not, you know, staying up till 1 a.m. Let's just face it, being real life, scrolling on our phones or doing all these things. Make sure we're, you know, we're getting our bodies that adequate rest and recovery they need so you can actually see those gains from what you're doing in your training, because that's extremely important.
All right, buddy. Dr. Jay Savage, Gulf Orthopedics, thank you so much for joining us this morning, pal.
Yeah, guys, enjoyed it. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks,
Jay.
Appreciate it.
I started asking him, has he got a little tip for a pinched nerve in the lower back?
Bless your heart. I'm going to tell you right now.
I didn't either.
Man, this guy.
I'm sitting over here crying, and you're not looking at me.
I'm sorry. That's exactly right.
Oh, my goodness. No, he's a good dude. He does a great job. There's no doubt.
Man, I'm telling you, like, we had an injury, one of our wrestlers, and last night I was talking to Jay, and I asked him, how's he doing? He gave me a whole rundown on it. This is what he's going to do. This is what we need to do. That's invaluable.
No doubt.
As a coach, to kind of have an idea, because now when I talk to our athlete, I already have an idea what's going on.
Yep.
You know, so.
So make a note. Bayside Orthopedic is now Gulf
Orthopedic.
Orthopedic.
Yes,
all right. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll visit with Coach Mark Freeman right here on the Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha. Randy Berger, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasters. We're broadcasting live from the Eastern Shore Hyundai Genesis Room. Glad to have you here with us. Time to go back to our Pops Communication Lines and welcome in the head football coach for the Warriors of Thompson. And, Rick, we let Boss Gags go a little bit right there. And
that's unbelievable.
I know. We are but just because – there you go. Turn it up just a little bit.
There you go. You're doing good. But we got to say back – to back, to back, to back. Did you know that, Mark?
Yep.
Back, to back, to back, to back. Can you say that 4 times in a row?
I can. Even if I did, I wouldn't do it because you'd make fun of me in some way, shape, or form.
You know, I didn't ask Jay Savage. Yes, this is one of the things I wanted to ask Jay Savage. You know, we got all kind of pills now that can fix everything, cholesterol, everything, and you just got to order them online from Amazon.
Yeah.
Has he got one that can grow us?
See.
I mean, grow us.
Oh, here you go.
Here you go. See.
Come on now. We see eye to eye on everything, Coach.
That's what we do, babe.
That's right. That's right.
We have a fine guest on here, and Rick's being a client.
Rick's taking up time.
No, I'm really concerned about that because Randy can't walk now. He's got a back pain, and he can't swing a golf club. But if he grows a little bit in stature, maybe that'll fix that nerve problem you got.
Wow. There it is. We'll get back to that, all right?
Let's go to our phone lines right now.
Welcome in the head football coach for the Warriors of Thompson, good friend Mark Freeman. Mark, how you doing, Coach?
I'm good. I'm just sitting here listening to talk, so y'all go ahead. Rick, I was on a roll, it sounds like, so.
Mark, you just don't know, buddy. How you doing, pal? Good morning to you, and just glad to have you on our show, and so thankful to get to spend some time with you last week at Thompson when I was up there for the girls' tournament, and then again the other night at the convention.
The University of Thompson.
Man, it was just great to see you and have a few minutes to chat with you. But tell us a little bit, Mark, if you don't mind, about the convention. It was there was over 1,000 people there, I believe.
Yeah, it was. And Mark, it was good to see you and your wife and some of you guys from back down in Gosling a little bit. And it's good to talk to y'all. And Rick, you guys, I appreciate y'all thinking about me and let me talk with y'all this morning. And but the convention was great. And Mark, actually, I ran your son that night, met him.
Yeah.
And I think it's just really good to get, you know, coaches down there to be. I hate where the coaching world's going. It seems like everything is a life and death, and you know you can't. I told David Faulkner, he called me the other night, and I just wish we could start getting some of the guys back in some of these spots that. It's okay to compete and be rivals and then shake hands and love each other when the game's over. But it's getting where now it's just a little bit rough and it's kind of losing. It's the old school of go compete, play each other and kind of pull for each other down the road a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark. It's something you and I talked about that, you know, there's there's a place in this game and in sport and in high school athletics and in any division of it where coaches get out there and they want to beat each other so bad. That's a big deal. But when it's over, it's over. And, you know, there's nothing greater than shaking hands, coming across the field, you know, and hugging one another and, you know, wishing each other the best of luck and then going on about your business. I'm with you 100%, pal.
Well, and, you know, I think back to me and when Glenn was at Daphne out of at Spanish Fort, we played each other. And to this day, me and Glenn are still really good friends. We don't see each other as much, but we are constantly talking back and forth, you know, through text message or something. And, I mean, I enjoyed that. And I think we got each other a couple times. And it was just good fun. And I just think we need some guys that understand and it's not a measuring stick on your ability necessarily. I know you want to win. We all want to win. I don't want to lose it at anything. But I think we got to be leaders and examples, you know, that you can compete and still be sociable to each other.
You know, that's the one thing, Mark. We're talking to Mark Freeman, the head football coach at Thompson High School. And it's the one thing that I do like about pro football. Those guys know that each other's jobs are on the line. And you know what? It's just about getting that way now in 7A and 6A and 5A football and probably some others too in 1, 2, 3, and 4. But at the end of the game, you see those two guys come together. They hug each other and they congratulate each other and then they move on. You know, now it's almost like trying to pull our teeth. You saw what happened with Deion at Alabama State and that was – to me, was the most embarrassing thing about the whole college football season.
Yeah, I think society and you know, social media is not anybody's. You got to be careful with social media. And there's a lot of people can create animosity between people that may or may not exist. And I don't know. It's just, I think, you know, we ask our kids to have a mindset on things. And you have adults sometimes that don't act right and things they do. And I'm not saying that we're perfect. Nobody's perfect, but I'm just saying that I'm just glad to get some guys. I'm glad David Faulkner's back in town. I'm glad that some of these older guys are still working that we've played against for years. And I don't know. I told Wade Waldrop when he got to Hoover, you know, me and Wade's been friends a long time, and we kind of head up some two bigger programs, and there's no reason that me and Wade don't continue to be really good friends and you know, support each other, and absolutely these two communities want to beat each other, but as leaders of high school football, we can still be friends and even pray together after the game. You know, it's just, I don't know, just bring the, keep the wholesomeness of high school football.
You know, Mark, that's a blessing. That's a life lesson right there. And we took away some of your time this morning cutting up with my two buddies here. But let me tell you how much we appreciate you and how much we're so thankful for your testimony every day on the football field and in that locker room with those young people in Alabaster. I remember when it was just a little old bitty school right down from PT and Western Supermarket. Now it is. You've got facilities as good as any – is any college in the state of Alabama, minus maybe Alabama and Auburn. I mean, your facilities are awesome, and you certainly deserve that with the program that you've put on the field and on the court and everything that you do. And we so appreciate you. Want to spend some more time with you later on, but we got to get out of here with a break. But thank you so much for spending time with us, and God bless, pal.
Well, Rick, appreciate you guys. Talk to y'all later. Thank you. God bless.
All right, there
Thanks,
you go.
Buddy.
Coach Mark Friedman, head football coach for the Warriors of Thompson, back to back to back to back.
That's unbelievable.
State champions in 7A. That's pretty big, dog.
You know, Randy, I need to pay a bill here because our buddies at Premier Collision over at 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile, they're closed on Saturday, but they're open from about 7:30, 8 o'clock on Monday through Friday. You can call them at 251-478-4500. You know, one of the things that I keep hearing about those guys is, you know, they have fantastic service, high quality work, and I can attest to that because every time my truck is messed up, Chris Garris and those guys, they're right there to fix it with Ty. Hey, a new location coming for Premier Collision. We're going to keep the one at 1177 Sledge Drive, but we're going to add one out on Schillinger. It's going to be a knockdown, dragout thing. You'll want to go out there and see our buddies at Premier Collision, either on Sledge Drive or the new office coming on Schillinger.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll visit with the head football coach for the University of North Alabama. Brent Dearman is up next.
Coming to you live, the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios as we're broadcasting live this morning from the Genesis Room right here at the Eastern Shore Hyundai. Glad to have you on board with us. I am Randy Bergen. Coach Rick Cleveland is there. Coach Mark Laster right over there. Guys, didn't see you last week. Glad to see you this week. And, man, you're just looking so spry and peppy and you just doggone look good, Mark.
Thank
Coach,
you. Thank
different
you,
story.
Yeah.
That's for that comment. That's
there
for that comment
go.
There just a little while
there
ago. Hey, guys, I got to tell you, we're excited to have this young man on with us. Former quarterback at Vigor High School, now the head football coach for the University of North Alabama. Brent Dearman is on the show with us. Coach, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. It's not many Saturday mornings you get three legends on the call together and then myself. So I'm
tired of it. The check's in the mail, Brent.
We'll send you a check there, bud. Yes, sir.
That can't be included in your salary when you pay your taxes on that big money that you're going to make now. I can tell you that.
You got to be a good recruiter. You got to be able to talk to people the right way. And I tell you what, I have battles with Mark Laster over my lifetime.
well, you know, that's pretty good stuff right there. And it comes straight from Roger. Straight from Roger. That is nothing.
Yes, sir.
That is a legacy.
I've got a picture in my office of me playing at Vigor and him grabbing my face mask. He's about 2 inches away from my face. I think I pulled a pick against Daphne. And that picture's up in my office every day to remind me that old Roger could still look like TV.
What year was that? I don't know if we were at Daphne or not.
That
then.
Was in
what year
two.
Was that? Oh, that was Vic. Yeah. No, that was
savvy.
Steve. That was Steve.
That was Steve.
In 02, it's probably the greatest game of my high school career. We beat Daphne in overtime.
Be careful.
White was the
Be careful, Brent.
And I made
Be
one
careful.
Mistake that game, and that one mistake is on my desk.
Get this
Man,
guy into
I love it. Brent, it's so good to have you with us this morning, buddy, and all of us are just tickled to see where you are. I mean, I remember when I saw the announcement that I got on the phone and started calling a bunch of coaching buddies and saying, did y'all see where Brent got the job? And we're just so tickled for you, pal. well-deserved, and I just know you're going to do a great job. But we want to talk a little bit about this morning about what's going on. I know y'all are trying to wrap up 23 recruiting. Just tell us a little bit about what – I know you can't talk about who, what, when, or where, but tell us about what y'all are doing and trying to get this recruiting season finished out.
I tell you, it's a very frustrating process with the transfer portal for high school coaches. You know, I was son of a high school coach. I spent 5 years in high school. My brother's a high school coach at Sarah Lamb, so I get it. It's very frustrating, the transfer portal on high school kids, because so many high school kids are kind of falling to levels that they probably shouldn't be falling to. But for us, what we've had to do is we had to fill some immediate holes. And we ended up signing 13 transfers or 13 portal guys in December. We ended up getting four guys out of the SEC. We got six total Power 5 players out of that 13. So we're really excited about a lot of those guys. We ended up getting a receiver from Auburn named JJC from Montevallo. That's probably the in-state guy that's a big guy. We got Edwin White, who's a UMS product. We were able to bring him from Kansas. So we've got some immediate holes filled right now with those transfers. And now we're focusing on getting about 14 to 15 high school football players that we can really develop the foundation of our program. We're trying to make that in-state as much as possible with finding in-state town or northeast Mississippi or that southern tips of Tennessee, so we can have a base of good high school players around our area. And we're going to wrap that up today and tomorrow with some good recruits that we got on campus.
That voice you hear is Brent Dierman. Yep, that's the Brent Dierman that played quarterback at Vigor. His dad, Roger's a friend of all of ours, and great, great high school football coach. And yep. Brent, this portal, do you have someone on staff that, for example, if you got a kid that's coming in from, say, University of Kansas or from Middle Tennessee, somewhere else you coached, do you have a coach that touches base with a coach there to get a little bit about the guy's character, a little bit about – or do you just take them based on what information you get from whomever you get it from other than the coach he's leaving from?
I tell you what we did is every kid that we took out of the portal – now, we signed a couple of junior college players as well. But every kid that we took out of the portal, we had a previous relationship with. So we knew him.
Okay.
For example, Edwin White, I recruited him at Kansas. So yep. I knew him previously. I was able to be there on his official visits. I was there through the admissions process. I was there to get all his info. So I knew Edwin extremely well. That was an easy one for us. We took a linebacker from Middle Tennessee. I spent a year at Middle Tennessee, got to know the kid, got to know his character. The receiver we got from Auburn, I got a personal phone call from Coach Miles Ahn, who recruited him, who coached him for a year, and he's still on the table for him. So we didn't just go search the portal just for anybody. What we did is we went out and found kids that we had a relationship with previously, that we knew and recruited before. We knew the high school coach. We knew the college coaches. So that way we wasn't bringing in kids that we didn't know. So that's what we tried to do.
From here going forward, now you're finishing up the 23 recruits, and then I imagine y'all take a couple of days off maybe and catch your breath, and then you start on the 24 recruits. How does that work? Do y'all have a junior day coming up and sometime this spring? I'm just trying to feel out what's going on so you can let people know, you know, what y'all are doing there at North Alabama.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what we're going to do is after Wednesday, I give my coaches 4 days off where they'll get refreshed. We've been all over driving around, escort recruiting, all this stuff. Go take a couple of days and get a breather. And then when we come back, we're going to focus on our players because I think so many times you're worried about other people's players, you're worried about recruiting new guys that you forget about the current guys you got in school. So we're going to spend a couple of weeks just focusing and honing in on developing great relationships with our current players. We've got a high school coaching clinic that's coming up in March. And I think some of your best recruiting comes from your relationship with the high school coaches. So we're not going to just immediately turn our attention to the 2024s, the current juniors, of getting to know them. It's more of getting to know the high school coaches and developing those relationships. And then when our coaches hit the road and get back out into April, early May, then we'll start developing those relationships with players. But right now, we're gonna love up these high school coaches.
We got just a couple of minutes left here, Brent. And one of the things I think that the portal has done is now, if, for example, you got three quarterbacks on your, you know, on your depth chart, the top three, two and three got to get a good look. You got to recruit them every day, because if Absolutely. They're not happy, they're going to be in the portal. So that's got to be another tough job. And you've got to listen. You've done your homework. You've got the pedigree. You've coached at places that you need to coach to get to where you are today. And that's a great thing, but that's something that really bothers me a little bit. You got to recruit your own players now every day.
Absolutely, and what you've got to do is, you know, for us, the players we've got, we didn't recruit them here, so we've got to get to know them really quickly, and we've got to get to know what makes them tick. But once you're here for a couple of years, you get to know those players even more because you recruited them, you developed that relationship, and you do know what makes them tick. So. We have to make sure that two and three, they've got to feel loved. You know, I think that was one thing that my dad was always really good at, is he made everybody there feel like they were appreciated, feel like they were part. And everybody just likes having a role, and me included. If I'm at a place where I don't have a role and I don't know my role, a lot of times I want to go, I want to find somewhere else.
That's
I want to find a new church if I don't have a role at my church.
That's right.
There you go, brother.
All right, buddy. Hey,
those
Brent.
Kids got to know the truth and got to know what their role is.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yes. Buddy, we're at a hard break. We're about to get out of here. If there's anything we can do for you down here, you know how to get a hold of us, and we'll do it. We're so happy for you and proud for you. Best of luck, buddy.
Thank you guys for having me today.
There you go. Great guy. Brent Dearman.
What a great guy.
Head football coach, University of North Alabama.
He's
going to do well up there.
Yes, he is.
He is going to do well, there's no doubt. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk a little baseball. We'll do it with Coach Matt Limbaugh, the head baseball coach at Bayside, as PSR rolls on.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
I got to tell you, we are just rolling through the show this morning. Glad to have you here with us on the Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. And guys, we're going to go back to our Pops communication line. And Mark, welcome in a guy you know pretty well. He's a head baseball coach for the Admirals of Bayside, Coach Matt Limbaugh, on the line with us. Coach, thanks for taking time out of your busy Saturday to be with us.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, guys.
Matt, always good to have you, man. I'm telling you what. I met this guy several years ago when he came and interviewed at our school for a job. And first of all, I liked him immediately because he's from the Show Me State. Came from Missouri. All right. I got a little bit of background from Missouri there.
You do.
Immediate connection. Then he tells me he proposed to his wife on Bryant-Denny Stadium grass field. And I knew right then, this guy, we got to hire him. I don't care about anything else. And and we got him. And Matt has made done a great job for us at Bayside Academy and our baseball program, and he coaches our middle school basketball team, teaches elementary PE. He teaches the babies sometimes. I've seen him down there with the first and second grade kids, and just does a fabulous job. And with all that, we got him here today to talk to us a little bit about got a special event going on tonight, and I wanted him to talk about that. If we have time, we'll talk some about his baseball team. But
Let's don't talk about his basketball team, because they
Rick,
could have really
brought that up.
Did they clobber you?
No, Randy, they could have scored 100.
You brought that up. I wasn't going to bring that up.
Well, Matt.
That strictly goes to coaching.
Matt, that's exactly right. Matt told him, back off, y'all. Quit pressing. Back off. Just get all the way down in the paint.
Oh, gosh. Hey, Matt, tell us about tonight. Tell us what's going on tonight. I don't know. I don't know if many people outside our area or our school and our community, how many people really know this is a big deal.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thanks for the kind words. And Coach Cleveland, man, it's been weird not coaching against you in middle school basketball this year. So I miss being a legend over there working the sidelines. So that's definitely been something that I've enjoyed in my time at Bayside, is being able to meet you and seeing how great you are with those boys over there. So definitely miss that.
We've had fun with it.
Yeah, we're excited about our first pitch dinner tonight. We are very excited to have Ron Polk, old coach at Mississippi State, to come and be the speaker. And just from the conversations with him, he is, I mean, a class guy. And I've already got pages of notes just talking to him on the phone. So I can't wait tonight to hear him speak to our boys and really just a kickoff to the baseball season. We're going to have a meal provided. And still, if anybody is interested in coming, you're more than welcome to come to Bayside Academy and pay at the door and get to see one of the greatest college coaches to ever do it, talk about his career and what made him so successful.
That will be tonight at the Pilot Center on the campus of Bayside Academy in Daphne. What time is the time we get started tonight?
It will start at 5:30.
5:30 at Bayside Academy in the Pilot Center. It'd be a great place to come and listen to a legend talk about.
If somebody wanted to do that, how do they do it?
They can just come to the school
to show up
and pay at the door.
Well, let me give you. I got a little bit of a history, Ron Pope.
You got history with everybody, Rick.
Well, let me tell you this: if you hear him say brutal, he can say brutal better than anybody I've ever heard. Without saying using profanity.
That's awesome.
I'm just telling you right now. And when he yells brutal, that catcher usually take that mitt and pop you on that leg back there. He's talking to you,
talking
Blue.
He's talking to you, Blue.
Lord have mercy. But a great baseball man knows the rule book inside out, backwards and forwards. And, no, he was always a gentleman to me. I'm serious. He's one of the class acts in baseball, college baseball, and one of the grandfathers of college baseball in my mind. I mean that.
And anyway, no doubt. Matt, so we got this going on tonight. Now we got a few minutes to talk about your baseball team. You know, it's been fun to watch over the off season. Several of those guys have already committed to play at the next level. Tell us just a little bit, how much time we got. I don't want to get him cut off, but we got about 4 or 5 minutes, and give him time to talk about his players. And, Matt, just have at it, buddy, and tell us a little bit of what's going on with your baseball program and some of the guys you've got committed already.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, very, very grateful to have these guys to where they're able to go to the next level. And obviously – it doesn't mean an automatic area title or state title or anything like that. It's all we're doing is setting up these boys for success after Bayside and trying to get help paid for education. And again, it's about them being successful past high school. And so we try to do a good job of just plugging these boys as much as we can out on social media, contacting coaches. I always say all a coach can do is tell you no. And it doesn't cost a dime to hit that tweet button of sending out videos of your boys, and we've just been very fortunate to get some of them committed and signed at the next level. Pretty neat moment. I had one of my two former pitchers from last year, Brett Nastandi, started for Pensacola State last night in their opener, and my other guy, Zach Kittrell, closed it for him. So that was kind of cool. Two Bayside boys in one game there, getting their first collegiate experience. So that was a pretty cool moment for our program. But
yes,
we're trying to tee it up, go to work every day. We've got a tough area, obviously the class at UMS with the legend Coach Raley over there, and then you got Orange Beach, great program, St. Michael's great program. So really good area this year. So we're going to have to be on our A game every day to try to get ready. And we got a younger squad this year, but they've come in, they're working hard, and we're just trying to be the best that we can come playoff time.
You know, Coach, when do y'all when does competition start as far as when we start playing ball games?
Our first game is February 16th.
Is that the Hank Aaron tournament?
that it, yeah, it's not called the Hank Aaron Tournament anymore. It's a bunch of different host sites. I know we play at Alma Bryant. We'll play at UMS. So a bunch of host sites, I believe, over there in Mobile. And, yeah, very, very good little opening season tournament for us.
That's awesome. Tell us a little bit about your coaching staff you got there with you at Bayside on your staff, and what they do, and we'd like to kind of get to know them a little bit.
Yes, sir. Yeah, got Garrett Pitts, who played at Troix, and I only got one guy, and you might know him, Landon Lassiter, is the only guy on my staff that actually works at Bayside. I go and get guys that have some baseball backgrounds, but they also have full-time jobs. So it's I'm very blessed that they sit there and have a long day at their job, and then they come and try to help me out after their jobs too, and obviously away from their family. So Garrett Pitts, like I said, guy played at Troy. Caleb Reed was a pitcher at Mississippi State. Spencer Rosenbaum, it was at University of Loyola in Louisiana. And then I've got Edward Terry, who owns the Baseball Academy in Daphne, and then along with Landon Lassiter. And so that's my group of guys, man. They come every day ready to work, and they've been great with the kids, and the kids love them.
That's awesome, buddy. Man, I've just –
Spencer Rosenbaum from the Spencer Rosenbaum,
yes,
of the Rosenbaums?
Yes, okay. Of the Rosenbaum. Right, that's good. Him. Just got married.
Did he really?
Yes, he sure did. Just got married the other day. And Spencer, I think, has been with Coach for – a couple of years.
Is that
now.
Right?
Yeah.
Mom and dad's nice folks.
Beautiful wedding there. His new wife is Coach Ann Schilling's assistant coach at Bayside Volleyball. And
yep.
You talk about a beautiful wedding, man. That was a heck of a way to get married there.
Two great families and two great kids. And, man, we're just excited for them. And, Matt, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you joining us this morning and spending a little time with us on a Saturday morning away from your family. And we're going to let you go, and hope tonight just turns out to be fantastic. And thank you, and best of luck, and I look forward to seeing you Monday.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for what y'all do.
Take care, Matt.
There you go. Matt Limbaugh, the Bayside Baseball head baseball coach.
Yeah.
Great guy, no doubt about it.
You know, he's talking about signing day. Of course, we got the second national signing day coming up this Wednesday, and I know over at UMS we got about six kids going to sign, and it's a big day. It's a big day for high school kids to be able to put their name on the dotted line and sign and go play college sports. We're excited about that.
We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, guys, we got to fill in a lot of stuff here in a short time in this next segment. And then the faith segment, Mark, I'm excited about that one. That one's going to be pretty neat.
It's going to be neat.
Yeah, yeah. Don't go anywhere. More Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Goodness gracious. Gives me chills.
If this is your first time on Prep Sports Report listening, turn it up just a little bit, Steve. Just a little bit. Boss Gags is, there you go. Putting a business in the street.
Ben Thomas ain't happy.
No, he's not.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, anytime Boss Gags comes on, you just quiet it down a little bit. But we're glad you're here with us. I'll tell you one of the things, Coach, you were talking just a few moments ago before we went in that timeout, talking about National Signing Day is going to be on Wednesday. And there's some neat things going on this National Signing Day.
Yeah, there really are, Randy. And there's a couple of kids that in the Mobile area that we're really anxious to see where they go. There's a defensive back who, you know, they switched him out at Theodore to a running back when that good running back got hurt. Will James, defensive player, goes over and, heck, he gains about 130, 140 yards for Eric Collier and those guys at Theodore while their running back was hurt. So Will James, we think he's going to sign with somebody, and the kid over at Vigor, Michael Towner, that big defensive player, is a heck of a player. He's going to be he'll be signing with somebody. And, Mark, I know the young man, that the offensive tackle that committed to Georgia, who's only a junior, he may be the best one, Michael Dubose.
Yeah.
Good gracious, 6'6", 275. He wears a 3X glove and a 16 shoe. And Kirby Smart's done come in here and snatched that young man out.
Wow.
He's a verbal, but you don't think that Nick Saban and Hugh Freeze wants to keep on recruiting that young man.
They'll keep on. Everybody keeps on. Nobody stops anymore. Commitment's just something that you do and get it on there. And that way you're committed, but everybody just keeps recruiting them. And it's been kind of cool. Talking about recruiting, we've had all kind of – we've had Clemson was in at Bayside the other day. Auburn was in last week. Vanderbilt came in the other night, came by recruiting our tackle, Graham Uter. They just came by.
He's a big boy, too.
They can't talk to him, you know, in person or anything like that, but they're coming by making contact with the coach, like Coach Dierman was saying, making sure they know who the high school coaches are, getting to know them, and that's a great thing that Brent and his group are doing. But, yeah, really excited about Graham Uter and his recruitment.
I'm going to tell you, I saw Graham Uter play basketball the other day against UMS. He can play.
He's
that
got
big
good
boy
feet.
Can play. He's got great feet. Hand-eye coordination is really good.
6'6", 283.
He really is. He's a good-looking kid. Over at UMS, Cole Blaylight's going to sign football with University of South Alabama, 5A back of the year.
Big day for UMS and the Blaylocks.
I'm telling you.
So happy for that whole family.
I am too, boy. That's that family is totally committed. They'll be a first family of South Alabama.
Yes, now, they will.
Tell you that. Parker Barraza's going to Spring Hill Baseball. Arthur Chitty going to sign with Samford University in track. He's a high jumper and a good one. Clark Doyle signing with the University of Toledo as a swimmer. Bridges Simmons signing with the University of Mobile to play basketball. And Torrey Waters signing a golf scholarship with the University of Alabama, Birmingham. And let me tell you, there are so many scholarships available for young ladies in golf, and
tennis.
Goodness. It's wild.
Everywhere.
We talk a lot about that on the golf show, which will
which
be coming
next.
Up next. Yeah. Yep. And if you have a daughter that's has any type of interest in golf, get her involved because, as you mentioned, there
Absolutely.
Are so many scholarships out there, and she doesn't have to be. She doesn't have to shoot 69.
No,
she
no.
Have to go, Mark,
she
you know
the
that
80s.
The 80s.
You're consistent in the 80s. Somebody's going to take a look.
No
well,
doubt.
You know, Jay Cozio has done such a great job with those young ladies, and he takes it. I mean, listen, you know, Mark, for years when we started coaching, you throw a football coach in there, and he'd just coach it and give him his schedule and say, go play. Jay Cozio's out there teaching and working with them and doing and planning everything. I mean, he's a defensive coordinator in football.
But he enjoys golf.
He loves golf.
Yeah.
He loves golf. As a matter of fact, next time we go to Kiva Dunes and we can play, I'm going to tell him I'm Jay Cozio. He worked down there forever, and I think he plays for like $15. That'll save us $70.
That'll save you a little money. That'll save you a little money.
But he does a great, great job. Matter of fact, Mark, our tournament fixing to come up that we're always involved with them. Want to do
Absolutely.
Everything we can to talk about that as it comes up here.
Well, you got the David Miller.
David Miller coming up February the 20th. That's put on by UMS Wright, and it's a David Miller Memorial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tremendous tournament with a lot of meaning. It's not just the golf.
That's right.
It's
right.
A lot of meaning about what David Miller meant to the UMS community and everybody he came in contact with. It's quite a tournament. And it's one of the best in the state every year.
It really is. It's about the only time we can get Bubba Watson out to top because he really loved David Miller. Bubba was really a big supporter of that and has been and has done a tremendous job with that. They were dear, dear friends at the University of Georgia. Got two new football coaches we want to talk a little bit about. We got a transplant from California coming
sure
in here to Oak Mountain. Shane McComb is coming in here. He's about to get married, and he's coming in from California, a very successful high school football coach in California. He's just taking the Oak Mountain football job. Wow, that's a pretty tough area.
That's tough,
region to play football. And in Sylacauga has hired Chris Smelly. Of course, Chris Smelly was an outstanding athlete over at American Christian in Tuscaloosa, went on to South Carolina and played for the old ball coach, played for Steve Spurrier at South Carolina, ended up his last 2 years, ended up playing baseball, Randy.
Didn't he have a brother that played with him?
There's a bunch of Smellies over there. There sure are. He's been hired by Sylacauga and looking forward to some great things from Chris Smelly. He's got a great pedigree there. His dad was a longtime high school coach. So, I think there's a couple of those Smelly brothers that played.
Coach, we have got somebody on our Pops communication line. Let's go to our Pops communication line and see who we've got on. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Coach. Russ Wood here.
What up, Russ?
If you didn't know the voice.
Big 89.
Russ, we got something special coming up now on the
Grace segment.
Camp Grace segment, so be careful.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I just wanted to give y'all a little heads up. I don't know if y'all saw it. I was one of my coaches at Elba, but, you know, they've been circling back around, and I don't know the last time that he's been in the Wiregrass, but he visited Elba, Andalusia, and Charles Henderson this week in person.
You talking about Hugh Freeze?
No. I don't know anything about Hugh Freeze coming by there. But he talked
well, he
to
did.
Alvin
That's
Henderson
he
was number one running back in 1A. He's at Elba
right.
this year.
He sure is.
And but, no, Saban came to Elba. The whole town, I think they had a meltdown, Coach. And then he went to Charles Henderson, and then he went to Andalusia. So, you know.
Yep, he sure did. He did.
Let me just mention real quick. We're talking to Russ Wood here. By the way, if you didn't know, Russ was on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday.
He was.
You're on every year, aren't you, Russ?
Yeah. It's a special moment. You know, the passing of Coach Bryant, and it was a sad day. But unfortunately, I guess it's a blessing. I was sitting in Legion Field being interviewed by Paul Feinbaum. I'd been drafted by the Birmingham Stallions when we found out that Coach passed away, and of all places to be sitting in Legion Field. And so Paul, he was a beat writer for the Birmingham News, and we always talk about that moment of, you know, when we found out together.
Well, I'll tell you what, coming up in the Grace segment, Mark, you've got something that ties into Coach Bryant.
Yeah. It is.
You won't want to miss it. That's coming up in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, well, all right, Russ. Well, look, man, appreciate you tuning in and jumping on with us. And I know the folks in Elba are excited to have Coach Saban in the big town of Elba. Big town of Elba.
That's right.
They
home
they
of
shut
Russ
down.
Wood.
It was not but three ways to get into Elba, and they shut all the roads down when he came in.
Russ. Yeah,
it's got one red light.
You gonna start talking about Sylacauga?
Thank you very much. So anyway, but I appreciate all you do, guys. Thank you, coaches and Randy and
take care, Russ.
Appreciate y'all talking about high school sports.
Thank you, Russ.
That is the original
Big
89. 89
yeah,
right
yeah, no
there.
Doubt.
That's
yeah.
number 89.
He's the only guy that I know whenever you talk to him. That's how you address him. You
sure.
just say, hey, 89.
Hey, 89.
Big 89.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did see a good friend of ours yesterday at the convention, Jimmy Carroll.
Golly,
got to see him for a few minutes, and he listens to our show every week. And, Jimmy, if you're listening, hello. It was great to see you, buddy. And, man, I just – he brought up some times when I was coaching wrestling in Birmingham about short coaches meetings. So
short coaches?
Yeah. They used to do that on purpose. They'd say, okay, we're going to have a short coaches meeting at the end of this round, and everybody just die laughing. All my wrestlers be pointing at me and stuff like that. Jimmy Carroll talked about that.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was a great memory. And, man, just having a few minutes to talk with Jimmy was really nice yesterday. And glad to see him.
You know what's great about Jimmy Carroll, other than he's just a great guy, and he's got more stories than Carter's got liver pills. But to hear him talk about that center reaching that three technique is the best thing I've ever heard. I'm just telling you, I love that. I miss Jimmy. I need to call him. I miss him a bunch.
Coach, I don't know if we've got time here, but I'm going to try to go through the coach of the year.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff.
We got about a minute.
Yeah, 7A, Zach Golson is the Alabama Football Coaches Association.
Awesome.
Coach of the Year, he absolutely deserves that. Our buddy Jerry Adcock, who's retiring at Decatur, is the 6A. Quinn Hambright, who Coach Saban went to see at Charles Henderson, is the 5A. Trent Taylor, our buddy over at Andalusia, is the 4A. Jimmy Perry, St. James,
great
retiring
guy.
Now. He's retiring, and he and Judy going to spend a lot more time on the lake and with those grandchildren, 3A Coach of the Year. Adam Fawcett, B.B. Comer, who's had two tremendous years at B.B. Comer, played the state championship game this year, was a 2A Coach of the Year. And then Houston Powell from Meek. Houston Powell's head football coach at Meek, just took the defensive coordinator's job at Chilton County High School. I know a couple of high schools that were getting ready to call him to talk to him about maybe taking their job. In the meantime, he takes the defensive coordinator's job at Chilton County. In the 7A assistant coach of the year, Mark.
Yes.
Here's one.
Yes.
Joel Williams. Man, does that guy know some football?
I talked to Joel yesterday.
Man, alive.
I go, Joel, congratulations. He goes, you know, you stay in this business long enough, they just give you something to feel because they feel sorry for you.
He's a great one.
He is a great one.
And congratulations to Jason. Jason
Chandler.
From Leroy.
There you go, Chandler. But Jason Riles coming back to Citronelle, his old high school,
yes,
taking the head football job there. Excited about that.
Hey, the great segment is coming up next. You will not want to miss it, all right? Hang tight. Mark has got that for you coming up in 3 minutes.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, 40 years ago on January 26, 1983, Coach Bear Bryant passed away and kind of caught us all off guard. I know exactly where I was. I was at Hewitt Trustful Junior High, getting ready to go to wrestling practice. And when I found out, and it was just, you know, it was, man, what a shock. What a shock it was. I had the good fortune when I was in college to work at the University of Alabama. I got to talk to Coach Bryant quite often and be around the program. I didn't play. I was a little bit too big and too strong and too fast for most of the guys at Alabama. That's a joke. But I did get to meet Coach Bryant and get to know him a little bit, and it was really, really meaningful in my life. So today I thought we'd share something with you.
This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it, or I can use it for good. What I do today is very important because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone. Forever, leaving something in its place, I have traded for it. I want it to be gain, not loss, good, not evil, success, not failure, in order that I shall not forget the price I've paid for it.
Man, I every time I hear that, just hearing Coach Bryant's voice, it kind of, I never forget the first time I heard it, I was nervous because I didn't know what to say to him, that in and of itself is what, you know, has been impressed upon me throughout my life, especially the last 10 or 15 years of it, to where every day that God gives us a chance to exist on this earth gives me a chance to do what I'm supposed to do. And that simply stated for me is that I need to be a blessing to everybody in my life daily. That's my job. And it took me a long time to learn it. But when he gave me a chance to do it a second time, I'm never going to forget it. And so Coach Bryant's words are really important. What am I going to do today? That's all he's talking about, is living in the present. What am I going to do today? And am I going to do it for good, or am I going to do it for evil? And I know, Rick, you and I have shared on many occasions about, I like to get up my day and think about, today I'm going to make somebody's life better. Whether it's just a thank you, a hello, whatever it is. And at night, I got to look at, did I do that today? Or did I offend someone and I need to go back and ask for forgiveness? But to hear those words from Coach Bryant, it's very meaningful to me. Not just that it's from Coach Bryant, which it means a great deal from him, but from what it really means.
You know, as a young guy growing up in the state of Alabama, everybody wanted to play football for Coach Bryant. If you're an Alabama fan, you want to play for Coach Bryant.
Sure.
If you're an Auburn fan, you want to play with Shug Jordan.
Sure,
and every day every Sunday at 4 and 5 o'clock. You'd watch the Bear Bryant show and you'd watch the Suge Jordan show. And we all learned about Coca-Cola and Golden Flake potato chips.
Right.
But, you know, one of the things that impressed me, I read an article that Jeremiah Castile and Mike McQueen, they talked a little bit about being chosen to be in the pallbearers at his funeral. And I think what they finally decided was Jeremiah and Mike were in a Bible study that had been meeting for a while at Bryant Hall. You know, all the athletes, all the football players lived in Bryant Hall in those days. And Coach Bryant, I think, when Dude Hennessy had made the call, I think he called those guys that had been involved in that Bible study. Well, Mike McQueen said, heck, I'd never been to a funeral. He's a big old offensive lineman, played for Bill Bacon over at Enterprise. And Jeremiah Castile had played at Briarwood, and a tremendous, tremendous young man who's now a pastor. Mike McQueen's a doctor and also a pastor. And, you know, he had to go out and buy a suit. And he had a sports coat and some slacks, he said, but I didn't have a suit. And Coach Bryant deserved a suit. And just to hear those two guys who learned of his death, of course, they had a meeting and they told him all that he had passed away. He'd had some health issues. But and then a year later, Mary Harmon, Miss Bryant, died 1 year later. But, you know what? When we were kids, Coach Bryant was everything. I mean, he was everything. We'd go sit at Legion Field when we could get in and watch him lean on the goalpost, and we'd go play football somewhere.
Right.
I mean, you know, just it's a terribly, terribly sad story to know we lost him at 69 years of age. Just so sad. And, you know, we all remember where we were when we got the news that he had passed away. And it's
I can tell you where I was. I was in the chow line at Fort Benning, and my sergeant came up, and I'm standing at ease, and he comes up, how many Alabama fans we got here? And there was me and two other guys, and he says, well, just let you know your coach died.
Gosh.
I said, sir, can I be excused? And I couldn't eat. I couldn't eat. But tough day.
Yeah, it was a tough day. And then those guys talk about the funeral itself coming up from Tuscaloosa to Birmingham, and
Their
streets were lined with thousands and thousands of people. Traffic stopped on the interstate for the procession. And, you know, it was something else. It really was a sad day. And one that we'll always remember is one of those days you always know and where you were and what you did, you know. And
But what you said, I mean, and what he said is, you know, are we doing good? Are we doing evil? All right. If you just made it that black and white,
that's something.
Okay. What are we doing today good?
Right.
Can you, if everybody just did one good deed for us, open a door, say thank you. Rick, you said something, and I'm going to share something with you in the golf show today. An attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Right there.
You know, when you look in the mirror in the morning and you're shaving or doing whatever you're doing, that's the time you got a chance to make a difference. You got a chance to be kind. As I get older, I wasn't very kind as a young guy, I'll be honest. I'm selfish. That's just the way I was. Mm-hmm. And I'm not proud of that. But as I grew and got a little older, and now as I'm older, it's all about being kind.
Yes.
It's all about being kind to people and making people feel better about themselves. And at the end of the day, when you look in that mirror, you just hope you have.
That's right.
Hope you've done that.
That's right.
Real quick, just want to mention, Russ Wood carries that poem in his pocket.
And
by the way, Jeremiah played at Phoenix City.
Central of Phoenix City. Yep. Thank you for that. Guys, thank you for today. Thank you for being with us. And remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you here same time, same place next week.